A meeting about the federal government's Fishery Observer Program drew a large crowd of vessel owners to the Petersburg Fire Hall last week. Federal officials addressed dozens of questions and concerns from local fishermen, most of whom will be included in the program for the first time starting in January. KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein has a look at some of those questions.
The Federal Observer Program in Alaska dates back to the late 70s, according to the National Marine Fisheries Service's Martin Leflett, who told the crowd this was the first big tune-up in 23 years for the program. Until now, it's mainly affected boats over 60 feet long, fishing groundfish like pollock and cod.
And that program now is expanding to the halibut fleet, and it's going down to boats less than 60 feet. So we're going down to 40 feet.
As Leflett explained, the observer's job is to gather data for NIMFS and the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, as well as for the industry.
We're doing it partly for you, partly for us, for our agency responsibilities, and to a great extent for the council. Because the council and all of us here are charged with managing these fisheries, and we're trying to get good estimates. Catch, bycatch, discards, halibut mortality. How are people handling those fish?
In the new program, much of the Petersburg fleet generally falls into a category called partial coverage. That's for vessels 40 to 60 feet long that are fishing halibut or groundfish in federal fisheries. The vessel owners in the audience didn't raise objections to being observed. Rather, many of their concerns and questions focused on the logistics of carrying an observer, an extra person on a small boat with limited room and an often changing fishing schedule. How will it affect or impede their operations? What's the skipper's responsibilities under the program? For instance, what if your boat's selected but the observer's delayed because of weather? Or maybe there are so many boats heading out at the same time that there are not enough observers. Gary Slavin was one of several people who raised that issue with NIMFS Glenn Campbell. Campbell repeatedly emphasized that once a skipper gave the proper notice, it was up to NIMFS and its contractor to provide an observer in time.
Let's say 70 trips from this port get logged and 35 of them get picked for observer coverage. That's their responsibility to somehow get those observers there.
But my question is, what happens if they don't have an observer?
Again, it goes back to the same stuff. It's the same stuff. We are not going to keep you at the dock. If everybody followed their rules and they were unable to get you an observer, you are released from coverage and you can go fishing.
For nearly 3 hours, fishermen in the audience raised scenario after scenario and issue after issue. The NIMFS staffers tried to answer each question in turn. The meeting was sometimes tense, but pretty friendly overall, and they were able to address a wide range of concerns, but the last issue of the evening proved to be quite thorny. NIMFS plans to collect 1.25% of the value of each landing to pay for the program. The fee in itself wasn't as much the problem, but the staffers said the agency would be using a standardized value based on the previous year's prices. And that was a serious concern for several in the audience who pointed out that the fleet would end up paying more than 1.25% if prices are down, as some expect this coming year. Fisherman Ed Wood questioned why the agency couldn't just use the record of landing, the fish tickets, which show the actual poundage and the actual price paid for the fish in real time.
I mean, if you can't look at the fish ticket prices, you shouldn't even be taking money from it.
NIMFS staffers expressed a willingness to work with the fleet on this and other issues. The Alaska region Sally Bibb emphasized that they wanted a system that was as fair as it could be. The new observer program goes into effect January 1st. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.